Hello, welcome to Crazy Eddie's Podcast Sales Group. Need a podcast? We've got so many, we're giving them away. That's right, folks, we're giving them away for free with zero down, zero do it signing, and you can earn 0% for life. When you come on board, Pitchbound Network will give you a podcast. Need that pesky RSS feed for compatible with iTunes and Stitcher radio problems? Not a problem. Need a place to store your podcast for the listeners to stream? No problem. Need an email address? No problem. But wait, there's more. Bad credit, no problem. The TBN is giving everything away for free. Everything must go. Contact the TBN now to get your own podcast for free. Some restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See TangentBoundNetwork.com for details. Side effects may include nausea, upset stomach, and in some rare cases, death from excessive laughter. The podcast you're listening to is probably not held responsible for the content of this message.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hello?
I'm sorry, John's not available right now, but if you leave a message at the sound of him, he'll get back to you as soon as his meds kick in.
Oh, meds. I forgot meds.
Where's the tone?
Wait, yeah, you didn't leave a tone.
Well, you know, the meds haven't kicked in, so I forgot, you know.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and that rhymes with geek. And I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And Pete.
And Pete.
Don't forget me.
I was cross promoting here, Dave.
What was that?
Was that a cross promotion you just made there, Dave?
That was a cross promotion, yes. Ah, we're here doing our 100th episode, guys. We made it.
Does that mean we're done?
I think we need to celebrate.
Oh,
so I'm going to play some music to celebrate. Oh.
God.
Oh, wait. That's for later. Oh, it's the wrong song. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, guys. So anyway.
What you do on your own time, Dave.
Yeah, that's for the party after this one, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Ay-vay.
You guys are invited. So
I'm not going to make any jokes around that line. None.
Not with a 10-foot pole. Oh, God.
How do you know, John?
Right. So,
yes, we've been doing this for 100 years. I mean, 100 episodes.
We know that they say, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana.
I have never heard that one before.
No?
Just remember, two wrongs don't make a right, but three rights make a left.
Is this the episode of 100 idioms?
Yes.
Apparently.
Apparently. So,
it's actually 100 idiots, but... You know.
Yes.
So, yeah, no. So, yes, I did do a shout-out to Rhymes with Geek as in the intro there. We're also actually on two other networks now, and I don't have my notes in front of me because I closed my browser, damn it.
You can see our preparation has culminated.
We've only been doing this for 100 episodes, right?
Yes. We are very polished.
Yes, very, very professional. And now my browser is not loading.
Yeah, we're down to only like two technical difficulties during each episode. I think we made great progress.
Yes, we've had entire episodes that were technical difficulties.
We've had entire episodes that were nothing but technical difficulties from end beginning to end.
I would say I'm a complete technical difficulty, just sitting right here.
You're nice. On many levels, Pete, not just technical.
Why is this not loading?
Well, in light of the new Daredevil show, why don't you bang on the router?
Yes.
Yes, Daredevil's out.
As a tech geek, I had to laugh at that one.
It was a good one. I do like that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that works.
Does it? I've never banged on a router.
It makes the bits and bytes, you know, wake up and start moving.
It works for Al.
Oh, that's true. For Ziggy, right?
Yes. Bangs on that thing all the time.
Yeah. It always worked for the Fonz.
That's true, but no one can be that cool.
Okay, so Hera finally brought it up. Yeah, so again, we're Rhymes with Geek is a network that we're involved with where you guys can find our show. I haven't done this in a while. We're also on comicsrelated.com every week, comicspodcastnetwork.com every week, and now we're also available on Wicket Radio Network and Tangent Bound Network. So,
is that last one, or the second to last one, Boston-based?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't believe they are, but it's a wicked good. It's a wicked good network.
They totally should be. If they're
so, nice. If you guys are listening to us for the first time from that one of those networks,
we apologize.
You've obviously hit the wrong button.
Welcome to the show. And if you listen to our show, go check out one of those other networks and check out some of the other great podcasts that are on there. And you can always find them. Just go to our menu on our website and go to our links page, and they'll always be there. So I just want to make sure I mention that, you know, 100 episodes, and we always forget, you know, shout out for those guys once in a while.
So Dave.
So Buttons.
What exciting topics do we have to talk about tonight?
Well, the first thing that I wanted to bring up is not exciting. It's actually very sad.
Does that have to do with Pete?
No. With Pete, it's always just joy.
bring joy to your heart.
Yes. Yeah. No. For those who haven't heard, Herb Trimpe, legendary Marvel artist, was the lead artist on The Incredible Hulk for many years. He is also co-creator of Wolverine. Passed away last night in his sleep. He was 75 years old, and I've known him for about 5 years now. I've seen him at many different conventions. Really nice guy. Always had time for his fans. Extreme talent. And so, on a personal note, I just wanted to make sure I brought that up and say he will be missed. So, see, I know how to bring a party down, guys.
Hulk sad.
Yay!
That was worse.
Thank you.
Just for you, Dave.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Actually, you know, it's crap like that that makes that actually brings it central. You know,
yeah.
It brings it to your heart. I'm serious. No, I'm being completely serious. When Terry Pratchett, who unfortunately passed away last 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. One of his last tweets was the end dot, you know?
Mm. Right. Or even when Nimoy passed away, his last tweet, something about a garden. Damn it. I can't remember it now.
He actually had a few parting tweets, which were good.
If there's like a service where you can like automate your like just post-mortem tweet.
I think for Terry Pratchett it was family. I'm not sure about Leonard Nimoy. I'm not sure how that worked, but I don't see it as being a problem. I think post-mortem tweets are actually they're kind of cool, and the fact that they're not going to close the Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
So that there's that history. I like that aspect of it.
Maybe you could use something like Buffer to schedule them out. Like, you know your death is coming. Like, right, schedule out a couple more and have them go for a while. Like, right through, you know.
Well,
like
they have
one every couple weeks or every couple months.
All the new phones coming out have the biometric meters on them, right? So couldn't you create an app that works with Twitter and, you know, as soon as it stops reading your life signs, it sends a tweet out?
I think I'd get a lot of false positives on that one.
I think we're just going a little too dark on this whole technological.
Yeah, where are we going? Welcome to our 100th episode.
Where we take a really weird turn.
The first 99.
Sorry.
So back to lighter current notes.
Before we get into it, we'll talk about the Geek of the Week. We haven't had
again. That's Pete, right?
Yeah, Pete. No. There were two things here. So the question that was asked last week was, where and when was the first comic book convention held? And we haven't had anyone who had the right answer yet.
A lot of people said in my pants, and that was incorrect.
No. It was in Pete's pants.
In Ben's pants particular, or were they just referring to their own pants?
Well, if it was the right person answering it, then they may actually be correct. But
No. So I'm not revealing the answer.
Dum dum dum.
We're gonna carry it forward.
I'm gonna carry it forward, and this week, since it's our 100th episode, we're all the honorary beards of knowledge for the week, guys. So
Woo-hoo!
Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
Yay!
And
I will shave my beard off and reaffix it to my face.
I don't think that counts.
It takes a lot of crazy.
Well, then it's detachable.
I was going to say that then it's a portable beard, and you don't have to be the beard of knowledge all the time.
Right. Sometimes you have to put these burdens down.
It's a powerful burden, like Thor's hammer, I guess. And
I was going to say it's like taking the mask off at night, right? You gotta relax.
So we haven't talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a really long time, guys.
No, and not since at least probably before the second half of the season started up.
Right. Not since our failed video show. So,
it hasn't failed yet.
Way to bring it up again.
It hasn't succeeded either.
Right.
Apparently my mouth and my voice move at different rates.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that is true. I do think at least your mouth and your mind move at different rates.
Yeah, look at the bright side. Your video editing on these podcasts has been brilliant.
It has been. And my mouth can't possibly keep up with my brain.
No, not at all. So yeah, I mean, I don't know where to begin. This has been a very good season.
You would say it's just been aftershocks after aftershocks.
No.
No, that's not what he said.
Has it left me quaking in my boots?
Perhaps. Perhaps it has.
Guys in your puns. Need yes. to work on them.
I don't get it.
Well, you know, I guess this isn't my life for puns. I'll do better in the afterlife.
Oh.
Come on, let's see how long we can keep it going. Come on.
No.
Oh, man.
Okay. Who
you know, I'm just gonna let all of these puns hit me like I'm an absorbing man.
Yeah. Mm. So who was now surprised who that really her father? Are. Who was surprised that her father wasn't one of them?
Well,
wasn't one of
I was not, because the canon character that he is, that he's portraying, is not considered an inhuman. You know, Mr. Hyde in the Marvel universe is not an inhuman.
Right, right.
He's a metahuman, but right. not an inhuman.
He gets his powers through chemistry, better living through chemistry.
Yes, nice. He probably got the set from Acme. So,
so yeah, I mean, he's so yeah, that didn't shock me, and it's, you know, that's all canon. I kind of there were people speculating for a long time before they revealed what her real name was. But yeah, it's no. I mean, I want to go back to before Agent Carter, before the mid-season, you know,
break.
Yes, that's it. Who was shocked that they killed Triplet?
Yeah. I'm not surprised, because this show, while it's not directly, you know, in Joss Whedon's hands, it's mm-hmm. you know, a team of people that have worked with him time and time again, and they understand the pathos behind taking characters away from us, and they like to do that.
So do you think there's a mantra or at least a secret formula written somewhere in the offices where they write the show, where it's like, just as people start caring about characters, kill them off? Is that
I
or change
you know,
them completely?
If it goes the way of Buffy, changing them can be really, really interesting, as long as you don't do it constantly just to, you know, out of the blue for no other reason than to make a plot point. Mm-hmm. But killing them off, especially beloved ones, yes, it was shocking the first time when, like, Joss Whedon did it in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when they killed really, really big characters off and left you just sitting there crying, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you keep doing it, it's more like, well, let's see, who can we torture this time? Let's Game of Thrones somebody today.
I would say, actually, Game of Thrones does it much more liberally than, like, it's not like they're killing people left and right. I think they've done it measuredly. And yes, it still, you know, hits you in the feels. when they take away characters like Trip.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones just decided to skip all the interim steps of this path that we were on and said, let's just kill everybody. Nobody lives.
But that's following books that have that canon already established. Right, so that's really the writer's fault.
Yes.
Well, it is the writer's fault because he killed them all.
George R. R. Martin definitely loves doing that.
Damn you, typewriter!
But in the case of Trip, I mean, his death was understandable. It sucked. But it, like, I would not have expected him to behave differently in that moment. He saw a friend in danger. He didn't know if she was going to survive that process.
Right.
And he did what he felt was necessary to potentially end it or save her. And unfortunately, it cost him his life.
No one's arguing that Trip acted out of character. I think he acted very much in character. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, so that's what the issue is.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something else too. Like, let's back up just a little bit more so everyone knows at the end of last season, Fury gave Coulson the toolkit and said, you're now the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, you rebuild it, blah, blah. We know with Winter Soldier, S.H.I.E.L.D. fell apart. And we spent the first half of the season of them running around trying to get resources and people to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. And then
only to find out
while struggling with Hydra still.
Right. You know, struggling with Hydra. And then, of course, we also had the added alien writing. Coulson kept having all this crazy alien writing. And then It was revealed that the writing was actually a map to a city. And that's when the whole season took a turn on its head, you know, like
it wasn't the map of this. It was a map of a city. And the whole point was he needed to see the actual city in order to short circuit that thing.
Right.
It wanted him in that city.
Right. He's all better now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It was
a lot better.
But yeah, I do find the aftermath of a lot of that interesting, because they did. I will say the one thing I found a little bit weird is how quickly and tidily they dispatched any difficulties with Hydra in when they came back.
Right.
Oh no, that was
masterful. It was brilliant. It was masterful, but it was almost at the same stroke. They're saying, all right, we've been spending all this time dealing with Hydra. Let's nip this in the bud.
Let's wipe them out.
Right. And they just, in one moment, cause them to just basically eliminate themselves in one fell swoop and haven't had to deal with them since. Just to make room for another force against them.
Well, right. Yeah, but it does follow. I mean, after everything they've been through, Coulson finally decided, okay, that's it. We're done. And took them out because of what was happening with Sky and everything. So, you know, it goes to show that he still is willing to do anything to protect family and those loyal to him.
Yeah.
And if that means going all dark side and wiping out, ooh, dark side. No, that won't happen. Yeah, just, anyway, yeah. but, you know, just basically going out and just, you know, wiping out the whatever, he'll do it. He'll, you know, when he needs to.
Right, and he did it well. And that's actually one point that bothers me a little bit about this season and how it's unfolded in the second half. Because, so, you know, spoilers be what they are. If you haven't caught up, screw you. they had the real S.H.I.E.L.D. that they've been introducing. And, you know, and we've had, you know, Bobby and Mac both being sleeper parts of that, you know, trying to infiltrate and take him out of play.
They don't understand what's going on.
Well, they do and they don't. It's a Democrat. Let me get to my point, though.
Okay.
My point is that they were present. Bobby and Mac were both there when this master plan got executed, and they took out Hydra. Basically caused Hydra to take themselves out very masterfully and under Coulson's direction. And yet, even after all that, they're still, you know, trying to take him out of play.
Right, right. That's actually what I was getting at when I said the whole thing took a turn, where it's like, you know, number one, they took out that cell of Hydra. You know, I mean, they keep talking about it being huge organization, multi-headed beast. We know we haven't seen the last of Hydra in a long time.
Well, yeah,
they were talking
about the Baron, you know, so, and those guys were leaders. I mean, they took out some pretty highly placed people, but they were still talking about the Baron. So, yeah.
So, I'm saying the whole season took a turn, and now all of a sudden, like, we're not even talking about Hydra anymore. We're not even talking about rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. We're talking about dealing with the aftermath of what happened in the alien city and now, quote unquote, the real S.H.I.E.L.D. Right. And it's just like, to me, it's gotten weird in that sense. You know, I've talked to Ben about this aside a couple times. It's like, what bugs me the most about the quote unquote real S.H.I.E.L.D. is they have no claim to say they're the actual S.H.I.E.L.D. They're just a group of agents that got together and said, okay, we're S.H.I.E.L.D. now. You know, they're still acting outside of the government. They still don't have any real leadership. They don't have any funding. They're just, you know, a different group of agents.
Well, yeah, even knowing that, that Coulson was made the heir apparent.
Right. I guess the way I see it is their journey has paralleled Coulson's journey and his team's journey. You know, they've both, you know, survived the collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra's reveal. Then they both, you know, grabbed a foothold and, you know, struggled forward in parallel and separately. And I think that what it boils down to is that, yeah, I think that Gonzalez may be pushing a bit hard on the matter, but essentially sees, you know, what he knows of Coulson and what's going on with Coulson and his team, sees the alien influence as a danger. There's definitely a xenophobic element to what they're up to the point that I think the only reason they're asserting their power as the quote-unquote real S.H.I.E.L.D. is because of that alien influence, not because they don't believe that Nick Fury's appointment of Coulson was invalid or that his authority was invalid, but because they feel that alien influence is dangerous and influencing.
It's because he's Hydra.
real quick, I want to caveat this conversation, people, with we have not seen the most recent episode as we're recording this. So if there's any big reveals about what's going on with the real S.H.I.E.L.D., we don't know it yet as we're recording this.
Right, because episode 17, which is Melinda, it will be airing probably just after we finish recording this tonight.
A half an hour from now, yeah, in our time.
So we're one episode behind in our discussion.
And you guys just dated the content.
And
well, because
such a nice date.
Because people will reply back and go, well, what about this? What about that? Talking about the latest episode. And we just want to make sure people are aware of that.
No,
I do that with our old episodes all the time.
It is. That's we want people to comment, Dave.
Right. That's the whole point.
You got to get them angry or else they, you know, we'll drive up our membership.
Yeah, all right. Well, for everyone who thinks I'm an idiot, hashtag Dave's an idiot to our Twitter account.
Wow, that's going to explode.
Oh, I love that one. I may start it right now.
Oh!
I'm not on Twitter. Sorry. Continue. Come on.
I think he's Hydra. I think he's Hydra.
Okay. I haven't ruled that out yet.
They never ascertained who was he was the only one left in that room on the carrier when they got in there. There is nobody else to say, hey, wait a minute, he attacked us.
You know what? In all honesty, though, in my mind, I keep liking it too. And again, maybe I'm a crazy person. Quiet.
Hashtag Dave is crazy.
is that like the birthers, you know, in our country right now, there's a group of crazy people who, you know, keep harping, oh, Obama's not a citizen. Where's his birth certificate? Blah, blah. It'd be like if one of those said, you know what? I'm the president now. This is our new government, and we're just here, and this is what we're going to do.
There's no historical precedent for that.
I'm saying there is precedent, but it's just like, I don't know. It's driving me nuts. It's like, really? Why not team up with Coulson and, you know, you'll be stronger that way?
I can't relate to the us versus them mentality, Dave.
I'm actually going to side with John. It sounds more plausible because of the difficulty that it was for Coulson and his team to actually survive that, to have a whole nother group of people that survived it.
Now, I'm not saying everybody on the other shield is Hydra, but it just seems too, it's like you said, the first thing they should have done was contact Coulson.
And Where's your birth certificate?
Yeah, that too. But yeah, they should have said, hey, you know, we heard that that Fury gave you the toolbox and that you're the heir apparent, and look at the cool things that you've done so far, you know, or at least chatted with him, not just all of a sudden infiltrate his team. It's like, it's literally doing everything they stand against.
And isn't it also too, like, wouldn't it make more sense for him to like say, oh, let's team up and try to gain Coulson's trust and then, you know, take the toolbox and leave if that's really what he's after, you know, instead of.
Yeah. Evaluate him or something while you're doing it just in case. But instead of doing all that, they went all, you know, they went all Hydra on them, basically.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I'm not yet willing to accept Hydra as the answer to this issue. Maybe it'll turn out to be that. But I've told you this before, Dave, my prediction of what the outcome of this will be is that they'll reach a detente where they agree to disagree and separate, where Coulson and team will remain SHIELD, and whoever wants to join them can be part of that SHIELD. And then everyone in the quote who's loyal to the quote unquote real SHIELD will become SWORD.
I knew that was coming.
I like that theory. That was actually, wasn't that originally put forward by a former co-host of ours?
I don't recall who. I know I've said it a couple times to you, but I don't know where else that may have come
from. Oh, the Dustin also mentioned it as well.
Oh, maybe.
Well, so. it kind of, you know, there are some parallels. And like, you know, I think, isn't the genesis of SWORD where they took over an alien ship?
Right. Their base of operations is essentially an alien ship that's in low Earth orbit. And their whole, you know, their whole raison d'etre is to defend the world from invading alien forces. So there's an inherent level of xenophobia in their behavior and in their in their MO.
And so they took. I have to interrupt everybody and applaud Ben on his pronunciation of that word.
I took French in high school, so I know how to pronounce things.
Thank you for interrupting the podcast for that.
You're welcome.
Joke.
That's why we have Pete here.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it just has to happen.
yes, no, and that would be actually a cool direction to go with it as well. And possibly spin-off, you know, having a SWORD TV show.
How many spin-offs are they going to have?
Well, there is rumor that there will be a spin-off based on events later this season. And that could be one. I'm not necessarily leaning towards that. I think it's going to go in a different direction.
John, you're getting Marvel and DC confused. Marvel doesn't have any spin-offs right now. They have shows that are related, but they're technically not spin-offs. DC keeps going, oh, look, Arrow. Hey, look, Flash. Hey, let's put all these other heroes together in the Suicide Squad style.
This rogue team over here.
Yeah.
Sorry, the definition of spin-off isn't taking an IP and moving it somewhere else. Like, I don't know, having a movie about S.H.I.E.L.D. or with S.H.I.E.L.D. in it and then making a TV show about it. That does not constitute a spin-off.
That constitutes a media format change.
A spinoff is like when you take a character from
one show and give them their own show.
Right.
Say it,
Frasier.
But you wouldn't count Avengers as being a show about S.H.I.E.L.D. or a movie about S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
Right? And you sort of, they took that IP and moved it into another platform and gave it.
Right.
I happen to think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a spinoff.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I disagree.
I will agree with Dave that they don't have as many as DC does. DC seems to do it as
DC's grabbing at straws right now, so they'll spin. Right. They're going to spin everything off.
Spin everything, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Marvel's got a very well woven IP web going on.
Oh yeah.
True.
Oh hell, even in Daredevil, they mentioned the stuff that happens in New York. Yeah, and one guy made a comment. He said, yeah, we'd understand if you couldn't take care of the guy if he had, like, oh, I don't know, a suit of armor or a magic hammer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
That was awesome.
That was really good. I like that one.
But yeah, and there's also a reference to Creel, who we've seen in Shield. So it's all over.
Right.
So, yes, it's what we geeks thrive on. Continuity.
Yes. Or continuity.
Or continuity, however many.
So
continuity. I can say I've heard it both ways.
Yes.
Because I've been on this show.
Literally.
Yes.
I can pronounce things ever however I want. Thank you very much.
Ah, you're see, welcome. He's like the real Shield, and he wants to form a whole nation of people that say continuity.
All I can say is sometimes I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Did you learn all of your words from books, John?
No, from Saturday Night Live, but you know.
So
whichever.
So, and I will say this: when they had the previews and they were showing Edward James Olmos was going to be on the show and there was, revealing a little bit about him. I'm like, I know that's a character I'm going to hate. You know,
he may redeem himself in the future. We don't know.
Possibly. The other side of the coin that's interesting too with the developments is, a fear around people with powers that they have going on. In Agents now, like
right, you almost think that might be leading to some sort of division and animosity, and maybe a need for some sort of registration.
No.
Of such abilities,
they're setting it up. Damn it, they are setting government. It up.
You really think they could be doing that? Which might explain again why all of a sudden the season feels like it got turned on its ear. You know, oh, we easily defeated Hydra now, and we're going to deal with other issues. Oh, look, one of our people has powers. Oh, no, we're all afraid of her.
Well, yeah. You know that some of that has been faked, right?
What, the fear?
Simmons.
Well, she I would faked say that it. Simmons, no, Simmons, I don't think so.
Simmons faked it. You got to put that as our banner for this episode.
Simmons, you know, I don't think. Look, I think Simmons have faked came it around,
John.
But, yes,
but she never faked it with Pete.
I think we definitely saw Simmons' loyalty clarified in what she did towards the end, towards last week's episode. But I
she
don't
faked
think
it and
she
gave
was
Fitz
faking
a
it.
Sandwich. That's all I have.
I
to
know
say.
That. I know that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I don't think that changes her degree of skepticism when it comes to these types of threats.
Right.
I'm not saying that she doesn't think that sometimes these are a threat, but
right.
You know, she's not the xenophobe or the power phobe that
what I think I found interesting about it is that not the fear, like you can liken it to so many things, somebody coming out of the closet, you know, whatever, and you can say, okay, yeah, maybe people would react badly and be like, what's going on? However, you know, again, she's somebody they knew, and the world was just saved last summer, the summer before, sorry, by a group of people with powers. So there has to be some of that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, maybe she can be an Avenger, you know.
Right.
Well, and they mentioned that a few times.
Sure.
Avenger lever of power.
But I think definitely, and I to nod back to what John was alluding to, I will say in that episode, in Afterlife, that was a beautiful, well-written sequence of events where basically Simmons saw an opportunity to, you know, to show her loyalty to Coulson and to S.H.I.E.L.D. by acting the opposite way and allowing for Fitz to sort of be the partner to that end. And Pete, I'm going to spoil things, but basically they managed to get the toolbox snuck out from under Gonzalez's nose. Deftly.
You're not spoiling it for me.
You, read
you haven't watched the episode. I'm just saying.
No. Spoilers for me don't matter. I mean, I'll be one for...
Pete's
spoilers
very,
don't spoil it for me.
Pete's very spoiled.
Done, though. It
well,
was
actually, no.
Done.
No, Pete brings up a good point. That's how good Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been. That even knowing like major plot points, you're still going to watch it because it's still damn good.
Yeah, it's still a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say...
I'd be as excited when it gets to that part again. You
know? And I mean, and the humor has been great because I've watched most of these episodes 2 to 3 times because I'll watch them myself. I end up watching them again with my wife when she catches up. And then I'll end up watching them a third time with my daughter when she finally catches up, because both of them are weeks behind for some reason. Their priorities are completely off.
Okay. Yeah, they're out living life or something. I don't know.
I don't get it.
But yeah, no. I will say that I was pleasantly surprised with the twist at the end of last week's episode, where it was like, Simmons is like, or Fitz is like, I'm quitting and leaving. And then he's in the cab and he's got the toolbox. And it's just like,
yes, they just validated all that fanfic that's still out there about Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah.
I know you wrote half of it, John. Come on.
He's just trying to sell it.
Damn, I'm slacking.
So yeah, it's.
Yeah, you got competition now, John.
Competition.
Yes.
So let's talk about Sky's journey.
Right. I was just about to say, but you know, talking about being afraid of powers, she's had an interesting journey.
She has, and
we've learned a lot so far, and yet we haven't learned anything about Inhumans.
Right. Well, we learned bits and pieces. I liked how she comes back and discovers her abilities, you know, initially just sort of being in quarantine, and only Fitz knows about it at first, which I found interesting, and confided and was her support system, you know, 100%. And they played that out through the episode with Lady Sif, which I loved that episode. And seeing Pete from Warehouse 13 showing up on the show was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Missed that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
you should go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. And then
watch
you know,
it right now, Pete.
Yes, go watch it now. and then once the cat's out of the bag by the end of that everyone knows, you get sort of that split in that some people are, you know, concerned about their own safety with her around. Others are saying they should protect her. You know, and it's a really interesting duality there. And they end up putting her basically in a safe house, you know, remote from everyone, just to remove her from the situation and let her deal with her powers, because they end up overwhelming her even. Like, she ends up injuring herself.
Right.
Trying to keep her powers from coming out.
Right. Because that's the whole thing, is she's trying to suppress her powers. She thinks she's controlling them, but what she's actually doing is suppressing them. And she's forcing the power inwards, and she's breaking her bones.
And right, bones and capillaries and all sorts of things, and basically knocks herself out.
Those, right? I think you need those.
I've heard the bones are important.
Yeah, capillaries I'm not so sure about.
Blood vessels are somewhat important.
And that's the thing too, is that Simmons made her a pair of gloves to help her with her powers, and for those who know, Quake in the comic books wears a pair of gauntlets that helps her control her powers. So,
right,
you know, that's some of the is that going to be the proto? Are they going to be her gauntlets? Are they the prototype of her gauntlets? You know, it'd be interesting to see where she ends up.
It's foreshadowing at its best.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They did mention that the gloves had some side effects, but they it was like a throwaway line. But it's one of those lines that, you know, it sounds like it's throwaway, but it's like a spoiler or a hint or something.
Right. Yes. So she so they lock her away in a cabin for her to have time with her powers alone to figure out things, and then it gets weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because then there's the whole, basically, while they try to keep things under wraps between the real shield and the real shield, things come out in the open and they throw it down and try to go take her out, or bring her in, and she ends up basically
that.
Calling out to her savior behind door number two.
she used her call a friend.
Right.
Yeah, it's phone a friend.
Use her phone a friend and teleported out of that place. And is now enjoying, relaxing in the afterlife, which is the name of a place.
She's not
with someone special to train her.
Yes. She's got a nice boy toy.
Not him. Said someone special.
Are you jealous, knows Sean? Him.
But he's special too.
Wait, have you read my fanfic?
He has the static powers.
Already? He hasn't even published it.
too busy writing the other book, but okay, sure.
Yes, I don't remember the character's name, but he can control Lincoln. Electricity, basically. And
Lincoln.
Lincoln, okay.
Yes.
Like Lincoln Continental?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Lincoln, like Lincoln Log?
I think that's his last name, actually, is Continental.
Like Abraham Lincoln? Come on, we're just naming famous Lincolns?
Like Lincoln Logs.
John yes. already said that.
Thank you.
Listen when John talks. Support. Oh, okay.
He tries hard not to.
Yes. It's hard to block out sometimes, but I make an effort. But no, I will say, though, that one of the more surprising things with her journey was in that last episode, in the fact that we found out that her mother is still alive.
Yes, and that's why it's driving me nuts that I'm...
Again, sorry, Pete.
Missing this week's episode because... I want to see how they explain it.
I represent every non watcher.
Yes, yes. You represent the people that aren't caught up. So right, as we know, the guy, one guy from Hydra, Dr. Whitehall, took out all of her organs and kept them for himself to make himself young and stay young.
Well, do we know that he took the organs?
He took out some organs and a bunch of her blood. And various things that he basically transplanted or transfused into himself.
Hey, and eventually, I saw this one. They never revealed what happened, right?
Right. But, well, he eventually saw that, like, at one point, he did de-age and became young again. And so it worked. And they basically, next scene, he was like, get rid of it, you know, and they dispose it in the woods. And you see Cal, you know, finds her body, you know, and like screams and cries over it, and everyone's left to assume that she died in that moment, or that she had been dead at that point.
Right.
And then she shows up in the last episode with scars on her face and looking just as young as ever.
Yeah. And I'm like,
really? and not telling Daisy that she's her mother.
She's harder to kill than Wolverine. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe she is Wolverine.
Maybe all of the
did
mutants...
they get rights to that from Fox?
Maybe a flock. Yeah, I was going to say maybe a flock of lawyers won't descend upon Marvel for copyright.
She's X-23
out of Stan Lee's ass. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's just wrong. But yeah, no. I was highly confused by that because it's just like, really.
Well, it also questions a lot of Cal's actions. Like he was on this mission of revenge against Whitehall for you know, like a decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, but for what? Like if he knew his wife was alive this whole time, what was he seeking vengeance over other than, well, I guess, the loss of his daughter?
When a man steals another man's wife's heart.
Literally.
When a man loves a woman. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's just like.
And another man steals her heart.
I definitely agree with the what was he doing? However, I did get the impression that when the teleporting guy,
Gordon,
when Gordon brought him to Afterlife, he didn't know, you know, that's when he found out that she's alive.
I didn't get that impression.
Do we know where that is?
He didn't seem surprised when she showed up in the room.
No, but he was brought there prior to that, so, you know.
We're talking they're on the on the moon, right?
No, they're not on the moon. They're in some backwater area of China that they're not revealing.
Are we sure?
It's not the moon?
It's not the moon. There is no terraformed, beautiful garden area of the moon, as far as I'm aware.
It's not, well, they're not that far yet. They're not those Inhumans yet.
By the way, Adelaide was not originally on the moon. If you know your comic continuity, you know that Adelaide used to be on Earth. It was moved to the moon or reestablished on the moon later in the timeline.
Ah.
Yes.
He almost said,
I didn't.
I can't even pronounce it wrong. I'm sorry.
Continuity.
It's like nuclear.
Okay. Or Wessels.
Wessels.
But anyway,
no one younger than us would get that joke.
No, hey. That is true. But yeah, no, I have a feeling she does reveal.
Well said, Dave.
She does reveal that it's, you know, she's her mother, because that's probably why she went to her, you know, to say, hey, look, you can trust us. I'm your mother, you know.
Yeah, but she didn't say that the first time she met with her. I think she purposely is keeping that information until she sees that she's ready to be less impetuous and less impatient and ready to become, because she doesn't want to give her that gift and then have to take it away if they have to get her out of this, you know, like if she rejects everything of the inhuman way of life and doesn't want to be a part of it, then that's sort of a really harsh thing to do to her. Is like, by the way, I'm your mom, but you can't stay.
Two things. First, the last things she said to Sky was, we'll see if you feel a connection to me. So she's going to try to lead Sky down the path of realizing who she really is, I think. The reasons that you mentioned. And the second one I just forgot. So go ahead.
Thank you.
That really helps, John.
I know, right?
Maybe you should stop
drinking when I go on these. Yeah. No,
that just shows that it's true.
Yes. No one's arguing. No.
I had such a good point. Now I can't remember it.
Is it the one on the top of your head?
I should run for president.
Yes.
I hear you only need half a brain for that.
But
damn, still can't do it.
But the other side too is the afterlife, the secret location on the moon, where they're all hiding. it's showing you that there's a distrust on both sides. You know, obviously they can't use mutants.
No, neither, man.
because Fox owns the rights.
It might break the continuity.
No mutants.
So in a way it feels like they're doing their X-Men story with the Inhumans. You know, well, we're hiding away from all of humanity because we can't trust them, because, you know, they cut us up and steal our organs.
Inhumans.
Yeah, the
Hummings, for those of you that remember the Rangers.
Oh my god. Not the Power Rangers. Are you done?
Is this devolving too quickly for you, Dave?
I'm just trying to make
it's
a point.
It's devolving fine for me.
Well, you know, seeing as how Dave pays the bills, we should let him finish.
As I was saying, yeah, so again, they're setting up that line of distrust on both sides with this, you know, I think with the story at this point. So the question becomes too, is this going to play into Civil War? You know, are they going to be found out? And then are they going to become costume heroes, you know, throughout the world, besides just, you know, the ones that they're going to introduce in other movies and whatnot before they get to Civil War? What do you guys think?
I think they're going the multiple levels of setup thing, which is really beautiful. They're one of the few. I mean, Marvel's the only people that could do it right now because they have so many properties working towards the same goal. It's just, you know, they're basically doing exactly like the comic books.
Right.
Go over here, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and see a crossover with Asgard. Go over here and, you know, and see at the end of Iron Man, you'll see S.H.I.E.L.D. And go over here. It's just like you have to watch everything to keep up with the main plot.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
true.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will argue that they're not the only ones that can do it. They're just the ones that have done it for this amount of time and have enough back pressure. Well, enough back pressure to continue, right?
Right. Mm. They're doing it, and they're doing it well. I mean, they're definitely doing it with Flash and Green Arrow. They're crossing them over, and they're having storylines that work together.
Work is a strong word there.
I think it's been doing okay.
It's better than Gotham. Okay, that's all I'm
that's
saying.
True. So, that's true.
Yes.
So, yeah,
it's a very low waiting, bar to cross.
We're waiting for Flash to break the time barrier and rewrite history and make Gotham and do pull an X-Men on Gotham and just make it completely null and void.
So I
please.
Think. So, right, Pete has a point. They need, you know, they need more time to build a universe that they can get away with this in. As opposed to Marvel already has the universe built, and they're just, you know, they're putting more pieces in as we go along.
Yeah.
Because I happen to think that when Iron Man and Hulk and Iron Man 2 were started, they didn't think of this train.
No.
they just had it, saw it, and grabbed onto it and made the train keep going.
I think I think there was a twinkle in someone's eye that this could go this way, but I don't think they necessarily thought it would be successful.
Which,
but they must have, because at the end of Iron Man, they had Nick Fury.
Right, but that's teasing. Like, let's see if we can take this one step farther.
Right,
and then they've just kept doing that over and over again, and taking it to the next step and the next step, and now they have a plan going out for the next 10, 15 years.
Right.
And probably will have no problem executing it.
How many movies...
That's because they're making all the money.
How many movies have you watched in your life that tease a sequel at the end and the sequel never came because the movie flopped, you know?
My favorite ones are all of Mel Brooks' movies. All of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's they took a shot and they got lucky and now they've continued with it, which is funny because... Kevin Feige just came out in an interview yesterday or today saying that they actually had a contingency plan in place. Like, they had a plan for if they got Spider-Man and a plan for if they didn't get Spider-Man going throughout the, you know, the upcoming movies and through phase three. So it's like,
you'd have to be silly not to.
No. And I understand that, but I mean, it just shows you, like, yes, it did start out with, let's just make individual quality movies, and now it is like, oh wow, we've got this whole universe that we have to keep going and keep it continuous and well written
it's kind of like a chess game.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
your first couple of moves, they don't matter so much, but they sometimes land you in a really good spot and you play a really great game.
Right. And I think it's gotten to a place where they're still playing smart. They're still, you know, they know that things aren't always going to come up roses for them, but so far they are. So why not run with it?
So I have a question, you know, and you know, to get back onto S.H.I.E.L.D. And there's, you know, as we all know, there was a lot of criticism of S.H.I.E.L.D. When it started, and there's still people who don't like it because it wasn't a superhero show. You know, very much had a feel of a spy show in the beginning, and it's changed a little bit over the course of the years. But they haven't had a superhero as a main character. You know, they've kind of avoided that.
Right.
Do you guys think that now Sky has powers, you know, and we know that she's Quake, and she's eventually going to go down that road, do you think she will leave S.H.I.E.L.D. and become her own hero, or do you think they'll have her as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. at least for a while with her powers?
What happened in the past?
In the comics, she was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a short while. Yes.
I see no reason for them not to keep her.
Yeah.
Especially since they have a lot of build-up to do for various movies. Like, they have a lot to work on.
Right.
You know? But it's
the thing
like,
is,
and I'll say like this about
them, it's like giving them a tactical, it's like giving them an orbital ion cannon, you know? It's like, okay, you know, here comes the Hulk. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, bring out Quake. Here comes some other bad guy. Oh, bring out Quake. You know, it's like the Yamato gun, you know, they're just at the end of every episode, it's going to be left up to her.
Oh my God. Not, I love that. But it's
the Yamato gun. I sort of disagree with you because there can be good storyline around her journey and other journeys around that without bringing in that suit. Like, that's the part I liked most about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that they've hinted around it for so long, but they never dive into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Into the world of being a superhero or the world of superheroes. They just deal with people. Like, it's evolved, you know, with that in mind. People first.
Right. Right, exactly. That's what I was kind of getting at, where it's been like, you know, it hasn't been like, oh, we've got an issue with Hydra. Let's call Thor and have him just, you know, write them all out.
Yeah, but Thor isn't sitting in their lunchroom, you know, noshing down on shmarma. But she is.
Okay, well, they can call Tony Stark and say, hey, you know, give us a hand. But they don't.
Well, he'd tell them to go blow themselves. I mean, you know, that's Stark.
What I'm getting at is the appeal of the show is that they figure out how to solve the problems on their own. They don't have a superpower crutch to fall back on. And
except that now she's one of them.
Well, that's the whole thing. That then that would make the show boring if at the 11th hour in every episode, Quake just walks out, shakes everything, and everyone is happy and they win. Like, it would get very boring very fast. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's the problem. That's definitely the problem. But on the bright side, it's Sky. So I'm sure she'll trip and do something and make it interesting.
Well, it's definitely interesting. I don't think they've that's a risk so far. I think
right.
Whatever they do with her, I think they're going to do the right thing. They're going to move her in a direction that we're going to like. I don't think they're going to be beholden to canon, because in canon she's really a very minor, you know, C-list yes. character at best. And so they're not. There's no reason that they need to really care.
They sort of built up the whole episode around her, or the whole show around her.
Yeah, yeah. So they can, and which is I think one of the things that they're doing is with this with the TV shows, they're purposely picking characters that are a little bit more fringe, a little bit less well known, so that they can have more freedom of movement in how they manage those characters. And I think Sky is one of those that you know, yes, she is now attached to a canon Marvel character, but not one that's big enough that they need to worry about sticking to that canon, other than, you know, what they've already done in mm-hmm. her parentage and her power set. Beyond that, they can do what they want.
Right. No, and I agree. Will. Yeah, I mean, they definitely haven't been... They don't have the A-listers coming in. I mean, in fact, you know, they kind of snuck Deathlok on us, because they used a different alter ego and then slowly built him into Deathlok, as opposed to boom, here's Deathlok, you know. But
right.
You know, he is also somewhat of a more minor character, you know. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, I guess, to see where it goes. What was the other thing? Damn, I had another thought and it just went out of my head.
It's John, you're infecting Dave. Stop.
Oh,
nice.
Oh,
it's going to get to me soon.
Speaking of, you know, C-list characters, as Ben put it, I find it interesting that no one has called Bobby Mockingbird.
Yes.
Well, I don't think she is Mockingbird yet, really. Like, I think that that's an evolution she has yet to go through, so to speak.
So they're not going to kill her off very soon.
Hopefully. I don't think so.
They can't say, "Well, I give you the name Mockingbird."
Well, they could, but
well, we're retiring Mockingbird now.
See, I thought it was going to
maybe they do a spin. Maybe they spin off a show with her somehow getting abilities, and her and Sky both leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. and forming sort of a, not to borrow from DC, but a Birds of Prey type team.
Wait a minute, did Mockingbird have powers? I thought she didn't.
She has, I don't know if she has powers per se. I'd have to look it up, honestly. But she is more than human in her abilities, but it could just be talent.
She is a genius biologist, superbly trained athlete, gymnast, unarmed combat and spy, expert in battle staff weapons, and greatly enhanced strength and agility. So
yeah, I guess she sort of equates to that already.
Right. That's the whole thing. So I always thought it was just going to end up being like a S.H.I.E.L.D. code name that she had, that they were just going to reveal it that way.
Like the Cavalry.
Right, like the Cavalry. But no, that like that never came up. So I'm just kind of like, well, why are we using her and no one's going to call her that, you know?
Right. Well, how often do people call, you know, Hawkeye by that name? That's also a code name.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. All right, I'll find.
Yeah, they'd rather use new names like "Hey You" and "Stupid." And get over here and shut up.
Right. And, I think that Selvig referred to him as the Hawk once, yes. And I think in the Thor movie, I think that Nick Fury referred to him as Hawkeye maybe just once,
right?
Or maybe not even that. But yeah, no one really refers to him that. As a matter of fact, I think Tony called him anything but, you know, Legolas and
yep.
Right. And I don't think they've ever referred to Natasha as
Black Widow.
As Black Widow.
No. And it's interesting. I do like actually how Agent Carter dealt with the whole Black Widow program, which we've talked about before. But it was very clever that that's they made that a thing,
right?
And a possible origin for Black Widow that may be explored later.
Maybe that's going to be explored in the episode we're 10 minutes into right now that we're missing, because the teaser for this week's said, now we're going to find out why she's called the Cavalry.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about Black Widow.
I know, but.
So, yeah, no.
I'm not paying attention again. Hey, what do you know?
Yes.
No. But
welcome to the conversation, John.
The big reveal, yes. John, is that her bedroom at her earlier headquarters was covered in horses.
They did read my fanfic.
Well, at least someone is.
Yes. So I'm just, it's the whole thing. It's like, I don't care if she ever suits up and gets powers. I just wanted someone to call her at once in the show, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come up somewhere. Maybe there's been an Easter egg and we missed it.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Ooh.
We are not very observant.
No.
As John has demonstrated.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Where am I?
Oh, so you guys have been listening to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. talk on our 100th episode, but we're at like an hour, guys. So do you have any final thoughts you want to spread about the agents?
Well, I just personally, I'm looking to the future, and I'm looking forward to watching this week's episode and the rest. And I'm really curious to see, A, how these things unfold with the real S.H.I.E.L.D. team, and B, how this might end up tying or connecting to what's going on with Age of Ultron. Because I doubt they're not going to have some correlation of events.
Well, right. And we're what, how many weeks away from Age of Ultron at this point? Three?
That comes out the first week of May. And looking at the description for the episode coming out the first week of May, I will read it from IMDb. It says, as Hydra heads to ruin due to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s reunion, a new threat emerges as a virus reroutes the bus and S.H.I.E.L.D. tech through its own command. And if you ask me, that sounds a lot like Ultron.
It could be. Well, yeah, I mean, they have to do a tie-in, obviously. They can't.
Well, they don't have to, but they have a track record.
Yes.
No.
And there's
Ben, they have
to. And there's two more episodes.
Pete, they have to. They have to, Pete. They have to.
They have to. Yeah. They it's obligatory. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has to clean up after the mess of Age of Ultron.
All those Tony as Stark robots they're going to be cleaning up the scraps of the.
Right.
They'll be cleaning up what's left of the Hulkbuster.
Right, and find a rogue Asgardian in the mix.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah.
But there are two additional episodes after that. So there's which have no descriptions yet because for probably good reason.
You think it might reveal
because
something?
It starts with after the aftermath of this attack, you know.
Yes.
That's why.
Once again, pushing brooms, our heroes.
All right. And anyone else with final thoughts?
I do have one other final thought. I'm sorry, but I loved Hunter's loyalty in the recent episodes. I was when he walked up and sat next to Coulson at the bar and wrote his name on a napkin.
Oh, that was awesome! Yeah,
that was an awesome scene.
He's Hydra.
No, that was that couldn't have been written better. You know, that scene that was brilliantly done.
If there were any doubts about Hunter, they were dissolved in that moment.
Yes. How about you, Pete? Pete, are you gonna get caught up?
Yes. Yeah. I would. I will say, you know, 10 out of 10 would watch again, because it is really a compelling show. It's really good, really well done, and I like that they are taking a new turn. They're probably gonna do it justice. So I'm good.
Yeah. Don't say justice. That's a different.
Oh, sorry. They're gonna do well by it.
They're gonna have a dawn of something.
Dawn of a new day where justice will prevail.
And Johnny Boy.
And tights.
You have anything to add, Johnny Boy?
But no capes.
Nope. We'll see you all after you've recovered from this episode at the next 200th episode, because it'll probably take you that long to recover.
You come back.
I plan to be dead by then.
By that time you'll have forgotten who we are and accidentally click on us again. Yeah. I I cannot wait to see the next few movies. I cannot wait to see who we're going to get to interview next. I cannot wait to see what stupid things I say because I really do drink too much before I get on this show.
At least he's.
And I am glad we've done this for 100 episodes. I am really glad that we did this.
All right. And well, here's to 100 more, guys. Clink.
You know what I've noticed they haven't had in any of these episodes or shows of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
What's that?
There's no capes.
Huh.
No, the only one who has a cape in the Marvel Universe is Thor.
That's true. Thor.
Let's keep it that way.
Well, in the cinematic universe, yes. He's the only one who has a cape so far.
Yes. So.
No capes.
No capes. All right. I think we're going to put a pin in it. Some of you might be wondering why we haven't talked about Daredevil too much tonight. That's because we all haven't watched all the episodes. We're going to watch all the episodes and come back and talk about it. But
I'm halfway through four.
And we wanted to give you guys, the listeners, time to watch all the episodes.
Yes.
So you didn't have to miss a week. You can wait. You know, we'll give you a couple of weeks. You watch it all. We'll have watched it all, and we'll tell you everything we think about it.
That's just an excuse for Ben.
2 weeks is plenty
slow.
Of time, right?
It's only
13 episodes.
Yes.
Well, we should do it next week, but then we've got somebody on the docket, so.
So, anyway, but as somebody who only has one episode left to go, I will say, go and watch it, people. It is probably the best 13 hours of your life you'll ever spend. Yes, but it's better than.
But we recommend you be at least 13 years of age or older.
It's actually TVMA.
Yes, it's TVMA.
Yeah. So,
so our younger viewers, you know, ask mom and daddy. Yeah.
Right.
It's not exactly Quentin Tarantino stuff. I mean, geez.
I think it's pretty damn close.
You haven't gotten to episode 5 yet.
But what I will say.
Okay.
Yes, you guys haven't watched 5 and 6 yet. But what I will say to all the fans out there. All the Marvel fans out there is pay attention as we talked about the chess pieces and the building blocks. They are setting up some amazing stuff going forward in this show as well. As long as being a great standalone piece, there's definitely some Easter eggs that they're setting things up and keep an eye out for them. So on that note, as we say every week, boys and girls, don't let your cape get caught by your hammer. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+? I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list. Cool! Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic? Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question. Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl? Oh, that's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. My eyes!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's gonna get caught in the door.